Black-footed ferrets are a prairie species. They're found only in eastern Montana. They are very dependent on prairie dog towns. In fact, they're considered a prairie dog obligate. So they use both the burrows that the prairie dogs live in and create, and they feed almost exclusively on prairie dogs. And so what we do know about ferrets is that when prairie dog populations decrease or disappear for some reason, the ferrets quickly follow. Prairie dogs of all species are very susceptible to Sylvatic plague. So that's been one of the largest threats to the black-footed ferret itself, is plague can come into a prairie dog complex and take out the entire colony. So it can remove almost all of the individuals, leaving the ferrets with basically not much to eat, if anything at all. And while they can travel, they have not been shown to travel very far. So once a prairie dog colony plagues out, the way we say it, it tends to take the ferrets with it.
When is this plague?
Sylvatic plague is just a non-native disease to North America, and it's real similar to any other plague, and it's particularly virulent with small mammals like prairie dogs, and ferrets themselves can actually get plague, but in the recovery efforts for black-footed ferrets over the last few decades, any ferret that's been released has been vaccinated for plague, and so they're put back onto the landscape with some sort of immunity to the disease. But it certainly was one of the reasons for the decline of the ferret in the first place.
Yeah, it seems like we're always trying to reestablish the ferret, and it never quite takes. It just sounds very complicated.
You know, it is complicated, and part of it is because of that dynamic system of the prairie itself and the prairie dog. And so, like many other systems, there's ups and downs in the populations. And when you're a species obligate like the ferret is, when all you really eat are prairie dogs and you need their colonies to live in, you don't have a lot of flexibility in your own survival. So yes, ferret recovery has been wrought with trouble and problems, and we believe we're getting somewhere at this point. It's been decades that ferret recovery has been underway. We know that in some sites where ferrets have been reintroduced, they have finally taken off for one reason or another. Their prairie dog populations are secure. They haven't had a plague outbreak in a number of years. The land ownership is secure to maintain the prairie dogs and tolerate the ferrets. And so certainly Montana restoration populations for black-footed ferrets have been very up and down during the restoration period. We've reintroduced ferrets into a number of different places, four different reintroduction sites, really, and the only ones hanging on right now are these populations at UL Bend. There's been a recent release at Fort Belknap, so there's ferrets there now. We don't know how long they'll persist. Ferrets released on the Northern Cheyenne a few years ago declined following a plague outbreak in the prairie dogs. And so when you look at the recovery map for ferrets in Montana, it is very up and down.
UL Bend, that's around the Malta area, is that right?
Yeah, so it's kind of the westernmost edge of the CMR Russell Refuge.
And where have, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, where have black-footed ferret populations, any real success stories? I don't know, Wyoming, somewhere else?
There has been some success on reintroducing black-footed ferrets on white-tailed prairie dog colonies in Wyoming. There's been some success in South Dakota, and in Arizona, they've actually been quite successful. So these are different prairie dog species than what we have here in Montana. But again, it just really depends on the current ongoings of those reintroduction sites and what the plague outbreak is, what the land ownership is, and to some extent just the success of the ferrets themselves in terms of breeding ability and whatnot.
I'm going to ask maybe a bit of a hardcore question here. Some may not like it, but why do we keep trying? Why is this important?
It's a good question. So this most recent move by the Fish and Wildlife Service to maintain some ferrets up on UL Bend is really part of a big effort that's being undertaken by all of the ferret recovery partners, to include the states within the range, to include the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There are a number of really positive ongoings in ferret recovery right now, and it's a couple of different pieces in particular. One is the current testing of Sylvatic plague vaccine. So we actually have on the CMR Russell right now a cooperative test of the vaccine on prairie dogs to see if we can vaccinate prairie dogs against plague in a way that would allow ferret reintroductions to be more successful. The other thing we have going on is a push by a number of different agencies to get landowner incentive programs out to private landowners that are willing to maintain prairie dog populations and possibly consider ferret reintroductions. The third leg of the stool, if you will, is the Safe Harbor Agreement that has just passed through the Fish and Wildlife Service and been announced in the Federal Register. And a safe harbor provides a landowner some regulatory assurances that if they allow some ferrets to be reintroduced and those ferret populations fail or something on the landscape happens that means those ferrets have to be picked up and moved or something just doesn't work, the landowners aren't held accountable by the Fish and Wildlife Service under the ESA regulations. And so there's a number of different things going on, and we'd like to keep these ferrets up in UL Bend right now so that when more of those things come into place and we actually have some new tools, we've got some ferrets to work with.
So what's happening this weekend? 20 are being released, yeah?
20 are being released on UL Bend, and it's not really a huge deal. It's going to be what's called a hard release. The ferrets come up in little cat carriers. They release them on active prairie dog towns. Ideally, the ferrets pick a hole and go down to it, and then that's the last, really, the recovery team sees of them. They won't be monitored terribly closely during the winter, but certainly the refuge staff will go back out in the spring and try to get a count of survivors, and hopefully if they all make it, there'll be some breeding and some new population numbers a year from now.
Winter sounds like kind of a tough time to do this. Why winter? Why not spring or summer?
You know, these little critters are pretty hardy, and so they can, the success rate of a release now versus another time I don't think is really significantly different.
So they're not tagged or anything like that, just kind of eyeballing it?
Yeah, I think they all will be tagged. What they do with ferrets is they actually put a little pit tag in, just like you can pit tag your dog at the vet clinic. And so you wouldn't necessarily see an ear tag if you were to see a ferret. They've got a tag under the skin that can then be read by a remote reader, if you will. You can actually put a reader at a hole above ground, and as the ferret goes through it, the reader detects which individual that is. So the reader can tell you, even if you're not there when the ferret goes through it, that ferret number 45 has passed through this area on this certain date.
Well, it's amazing what technology is doing for these tracking methods, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And remember, these are nocturnal animals, so you can't really go out and do daytime surveys with your binoculars. So for ferrets in particular, part of the recovery has just been designing these different methodologies for monitoring so that they can keep tabs on the population.
Last question, and I guess that would be, is this an expensive effort, and is it worth the expense, do you think?
You know, it's not an expensive effort to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. This is all being funded by the recovery budgets of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And again, a lot of ferrets have been reintroduced on the UL Bend without a terrible amount of success right now. But to keep the population from blinking out entirely, there were ferrets available from the Ferret Recovery Center, which is in Colorado. Those ferrets didn't have any other places to go because some other release sites that had been scheduled had plagued out with prairie dog losses. And so there were ferrets available. You know, I don't have a real budget number, but at this point it really requires a truck from Colorado to come up with 20 ferrets, let them go, see what happens over the winter, and then again there'll be a survey effort in the spring out there by refuge staff, but that's conducted regardless of this release. It is important to note, because that's where we'll certainly see some criticism, is this is a Fish and Wildlife Service-led effort, and so it is on the backs of the ferret recovery effort. It's all federal. It's not any state dollars going into this. We're involved really just as a cooperator and in attempts to maintain good relationships with surrounding landowners and county commissioners and letting them know what's happening. And so all our role really is just to let the commission know, and then we write a transport permit for the ferrets to come through the state.
Laurie Hanuska-Brown of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, really appreciate you taking time to visit with us today.
All right.